Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get you the latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd, ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 77, and the Steelers won't be going for their 7th Lombardi Trophy this weekend. Dave, Super Bowl 51 taking place in about, 54 hours now in Houston. Let's get all the mystery out of the way. Who you got?
Oh boy, this is gonna be a short podcast, huh? Wham, bam, thank you, bam. No mystery or nothing. Get right to it. Wow, you want to really go this direction then, huh? I've looked at this game from you know too many directions probably as I usually do, and I keep coming back to who I think the better defense might be. And in my opinion, it's the Patriots. And, oh, yeah, they have a coach in Bill Belichick that does a great job when he has 2 weeks to prepare. And, I'll tell you a few other reasons as we go on why I think New England's going to win. But I know it's an easy choice probably for several listening, but I think New England wins this game.
I got the Pats 35-31, but I feel better about the score than I do picking the winner. It's just hard to pick against the Patriots in terms of what they've done over the years, what they've done this year. But you look at the Falcons, and they beat up Seattle and Green Bay, two pretty good football teams. So I feel like they're going to score points. And like you, I'm trying to figure out if either of these defenses are good. And I feel like, I don't want to say the Steelers' defense was a mirage. That's probably too much. But I think we all felt all along that we were holding on to the Steelers' defense being good. We were holding on to the fact that it was new guys, they were young guys, they were getting better. And we were hoping that they didn't get exploited when they came up against the real thing. And unfortunately, they did, and they did in a big way. And so the question is, have the Patriots or the Falcons played good offenses? And I don't know that the Steelers had a great offensive game plan, and without Le'Veon Bell, I don't know that they qualify as the good offense. So I don't think the Patriots have the Falcons might have. The Falcons might have played a couple good offenses. I mean, Green Bay was putting up points. We can debate Seattle. So I could probably talk myself into the Falcons, but I think high scoring and with you, I just can't figure the defenses out.
Boy, the Falcons have played some good offense.
They played real quarterbacks, that's for sure.
Yeah, it sounds funny to say it, but the Falcons have outscored a lot of teams this year.
right.
And hello, that comes with wins, obviously. But look, they beat the Raiders 35-28. They beat the Saints 45-32. They beat the Panthers 48-33. Who else? They lost to the Seahawks 24-26. They lost to the Chargers 30-33. The Packers they beat 33-32. Tampa Bay, who they lost to open the season 31-24. They beat in Week 9 43-28. You just keep going down the list here. Now they handily beat the teams that they should have beat. You know, the Rams, the 49ers, the Panthers late in the season, the Eagles kind of in the middle of the season. But during the rest of the season, they gave up a lot of points here. And I guess I'll get right into some of the stats. I'm a big fan of the adjusted net yards per passing attempt. Did you know that the Falcons are attempting to become the first team to win a Super Bowl with a regular season defensive adjusted net yards passing attempt number of of greater than 5.9. In other words, they're trying to become the first team to win a Super Bowl with a regular season defensive NEA stat of over 5.9. Now, conversely, you can make the argument they're going into the Super Bowl with the highest offensive adjusted net regular season adjusted net yards per passing attempt offensive number than any team has ever come into the Super Bowl with from the regular season. That number was 9 during the, just unfathomable, a 9 during the regular season. Now, the Patriots are coming in with an 8.5 offensive adjusted net yards per passing attempt number. Now, their defense is a little bit better than the Falcons, coming in with a 5.8 number. The combined offensive average of the adjusted net yards per passing attempt is 8.75. That's the highest in Super Bowl history. So we should expect some offense in this game. And on top of that, the average defensive stat, I think, is the second highest in Super Bowl history. So I would expect some points to be scored in this game. But, I think it's going to be a close game for most of it. But I still have a feeling that the Patriots, experience and coaching staff, their defense being a little bit better. Let's face it. What are you doing, David, if you're the Patriots defensively? And if, we hear the phrase run into the ground all the time, Bill Belichick tries to take away one thing that you or one player away from you. What's he going to do?
I'm trying to take the running backs out of the passing game. I know that sounds, that's probably not what anybody expected to hear me say, but, Julio Jones is going to get his. Sanu doesn't scare me that much. I like their guys. I mean, Gabriel's had a really good year, but if I can limit what their running backs do, both on the ground and in the passing game, I think I win the game.
I don't want chunk plays to beat me, and I don't want Julio Jones to beat me, because let's face it, he can slap 250 yards on you in a heartbeat and three or four explosive plays, and Atlanta is a down the field strike kind of offense. Now they obviously can support it with great, two great running backs back there, both in the running game and in the passing game. But I'd be willing to take my chances to let Matt Ryan to see if he's that patient to drop to dump that football off to those backs in lieu of giving up a couple of 30, 40 yard plays to Julio Jones. So if I'm Matt Patricia, I'm doing my best to play some press man and some man and maybe one deep safety and take Julio away.
If you could do it today, regardless of not just forget the salary aspect of things, would you trade Antonio Brown for Julio Jones?
Yeah, that's a good question. No.
You would, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
You would. Yeah, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
I think I would.
Antonio gives you a look.
If I thought everything were equal, I'd just take him because he's bigger. I mean, literally, that's it. If I do think it's pretty close to equal, I'd just take him because he's bigger and maybe a better red zone threat.
I think he's been banged up a lot more than Antonio, though, too.
He has. He's missed more games, that's for sure.
So I think that would probably be the deciding factor with me. And we're talking about this point moving forward, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think – I mean,
are they the same age? Is Julio Jones a year or two younger?
That's a good question. They got to be close, right? I mean, Antonio's
Julio
about –
Julio Jones was that was one of those trades that you say, never make this trade, and boy, did it work out. The Falcons gave up everything to get him to go up to number 6 from 27, I think they were.
Actually, Julio's like a year and a half, I guess, younger. He's about to turn 27 on February 8th, and Antonio will turn, 29 in July, June or July or something like that. So Julio would be the younger. It's a great question. It's a great question. Julio Jones is from Foley, Alabama. That's my neck of the woods down there, where I'm from.
He's damn good. He is damn good. I'm with you. You say you threw out 250 yards, and I'm sure a lot of people think that was hyperbole. but it's not, you know, he can. I mean, he can drop 250 on you. It feels like
How many games has he had career regular season games with over
200 yards?
Over 200 yards. You want to take a guess at that?
Sure, I'd make the over under 5. And I'd probably make the over under 5 on AB too. I can look at the game logs.
I mean, I've got him in front of me, and I would have guessed a little higher too. You know, he only has 2 regular season games over 200 yards. He had against Carolina earlier this season. He put up the 300, and he put up 259 in 2014 in a game against Green Bay.
I'll tell you Antonio Brown's. I got those up in front of me now, and his career, it took him about 15 games to get 100 yards, and he wasn't stacking those very early in his career. He got 196 against Cincinnati in 2013. He got 195 against San Francisco in 2015. Dropped 284 on Oakland in that game. That's pretty memorable. But he's got a 189 and a 187 against Denver and Cleveland the end of last year. So he's got none. He has none. Antonio Brown has none, but he's got four games over 187 or more, but no 200-yard games.
Yeah, he's got the 284 against Oakland.
Oh, sorry. So he's got 4 games between 187 and 195, and he's got 284.
All right, let's look at it this way. 150 yards or more in a regular season game. Antonio has 7, and Julio has – let me get back to Julio here. 10 for Julio over 150 during the regular season. So
He's played a year less. Is all right. How many games has Antonio's played? Let me just try to see if I get how many games he's got. Antonio has played 101 regular season games.
I think Julio's 79. It's looking like here. So that's something I'll throw out on the on my Friday night 5 questions. So thank you for that. That wormhole will end up being profitable.
let's do this once early here, so we remember our buddy Craig early in the show. Steeler Nation, mortgage rates are currently at a near all time lows, and if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance down in Houston, call Craig Oxane at First Advantage Mortgage. Craig's a lifelong Steeler fan, a Pittsburgh native. He's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out our podcast listeners. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. Email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. All right. Thank you, Craig.
Let me ask you this now. If you're Atlanta's defense now, and look, Quinn knows all about facing the Patriots, right? I mean, and getting pressure on Tom Brady. What's your main objective on defense? Is it to get pressure on Brady and knock him around?
Yeah, I think it is. I wouldn't look again. We go back to, you know, the Steelers' problems, and they were many. But you want to be multiple defensively, just like you want to be multiple offensively. So you're going to show them different looks and do different things. You know, is Vic Beasley going to be a factor in this game? You know, Dave, one of the interesting things about sacks and about pressures on quarterbacks is a lot of times, you know, I don't know if we overthink it or not. This is something that I've been thinking about, and I don't know the right answer, and I'm interested to hear your opinion. Is, you know, a lot of times we look, and we did this with Bud Dupree, and we do it with other guys. You say, well, this guy, you know, he only got his sacks against running backs, or, you know, I make the point of saying all the time with James Harrison, and, you know, he got 3 of his sacks in the fourth quarter of a blowout against the Colts. So, you know, are they meaningful sacks in meaningful games? I don't have a good answer. I wish we had a better metric of and this is probably true in all sports, in every stat we look at, is, you know, in big moments or in meaningful plays, if we took the meaningless plays out, you know, any play when the game is, you know, a 20-point deficit or advantage, you know, those plays don't count toward your stats. You know, I saw somebody taking apart Vic Beasley's numbers about what he had done this year and saying, well, you know, he's probably not going to do it against the Patriots because, you know, he didn't do it in big moments. I don't know. Is that fair? Is that fair to look at Vic Beasley's sacks and whatever they were, 13 or 14 or whatever he had, more than that maybe, and say, you know, they didn't happen in big moments, so, you know, he's not that good?
Well, I mean, it's probably easier to get a sack up 10 points in the fourth quarter, right?
Yep. You get more chances. You get different things you're looking at. You're trying different things. Yep, no doubt.
And down in distance situations, I mean, if you get a sack on 3rd and 10, you know, 3rd and 10 or more, you know, it's probably a little bit. I don't know if easier is the right word. Maybe it is, but yeah, I mean, I see where you're coming from. I mean, you could dissect. You know, shoot, you could go through and even use Pro Football Reference and filter that, you know, with score differential and quarter and things along those lines. I haven't, it's a good idea, but of course I haven't personally researched that thing. And let's look. I mean, as we mentioned, here's the thing. They have their offense keeps scoring. Now you'd have to look at, even though they've given up a lot of points during the year, you know, how many of those points came in the fourth quarter against the Falcons, you know, as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. I guess you're looking at sack quality outside of just what happened on the play. You're looking at sack quality in addition to when it happened and situational sacks. A situational sack number, I guess, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So how about this? Here's a thing for you. And this is good. I'm just looking at some general numbers here. The Seahawks only the Falcons only turned it over more than once, one time this season. And that was against the Seahawks in October, and they lost that game 26-24 that you referenced. That's the only game they turned it over twice. And in their last, you know, they haven't turned it over in their last four games, and only once in their last six games. That was a turnover against the Niners. If I told you the Falcons weren't going to turn it over, would you tell me they're going to win?
Oh, that's a good one.
And by the way, they've gotten a turnover. And, you know, the Steelers had this stat as well. They've gotten a turnover in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in 10 straight games, including both playoff games, they got two. So they've gotten turnovers in 10 straight games. So obviously, there you go. They haven't lost the turnover battle. How about this? They lost the turnover battle one time all season.
And what did they?
One time, yeah. The Seattle game, they lost it 2-0. That's the only time they lost. One other. The Raider game. The Raider game that they won 35-28. So they haven't lost the turnover battle since October, since that Seattle game in October, and that was week 6.
So
that's
you're
pretty good.
So you're telling me, if you promise me that, and there's no guarantees what whether or not you're getting takeaways or not, right?
Right.
If you promise me that the Falcons do not turn the football over, would I take the Falcons? Oh, that's another good one there.
So you, instead of getting 3 points, you get your bet only stands. The only way you lose the bet is if they don't lose the turnover battle. So you get the Falcons. If they win the turnover battle, that's how you lose your bet. They push or win the turnover battle. I'm making it too complicated. But anyway, you get the idea. Would you rather have 3 points, or would you rather know you're not going to lose the turnover battle?
I think I'd rather like to know that I wasn't going to lose the turnover battle, but you can't guarantee me that.
Right. You can't guarantee that. But I would rather have that as well. I think that's worth at least 3 points.
Are there going to be turnovers in this game?
Not a lot. I don't think so.
More than one?
That's what I'd make the over under at one, and I'll bet it's not. How about this? I'd make the over under at interceptions at a half. I'd be more likely to be a fumble than an interception.
Or a special teams gaffe or something like that. Yeah, that's good. I mean, look, there's no doubt this is a high-powered offense. I mean, both teams, right? I mean, you know, a little bit different how they do it. I mean, Brady tends to like to carve you up underneath before taking his shots, whereas Matt Ryan will just take his shots, you know. So this is going to be a good game. Like I said, I think it's going to be a solid game for maybe 3.5 quarters, and then I think something's going to happen. And, in fact, you gave out your score earlier. What did you say your score was going to be?
35-31.
35-31 Patriots?
Yeah. But I like the score better than the winner.
I have 30-25. And earlier on a radio show earlier this week, I said 27-21. So I upped it a little bit there, 30-25, which is what, a five point swing there.
I won our yearly battle. I came back strong at the end of the season and got the win.
Yeah, and I can't catch you now. I mean, you know, regardless of what happens with the spread here, I'm going to go back game by game and look to see if Allen made any mistakes.
Yeah, right. There are 200 games there. There's definitely a chance.
You know,
I love 200.
I make mistakes, and I'm sure Allen has made some in the past as well, too. Maybe I can find me a game or two in there and draw
or at least make one up.
Yeah, at least make one up there. I don't know. There was a Thursday in there, too, that I think he got credit for after not turning in. I'm putting an asterisk next to your win this year.
Yeah. I was taping the opponent.
what else about this game interests you? They were showing the replay of that, of the Seattle New England, you know, Super Bowl earlier in the week there. And I got back interested, and I picked it up, I think, right around midway through the first quarter and all on NFL Network. And you know, Seattle, it sounds cliche, but Seattle did everything in that game but win it, you know. They were banging Brady around. They forced Brady into what did Brady have, one or two turnovers in that game? You know, they messed with his internal clock is what they did. And that's what you have to do in order to beat Brady, is get him unsettled. And Seattle did that in that game. They just you know, couldn't finish, obviously, the ball at the 1 yard line there. And they decided to throw the slant when they should have ran it to Marshawn Lynch there. But that was their game. They did a lot of things right in that game to win it. They, you know, their offense just couldn't finish it for them. But I thought defensively they did a lot of things right, and Dan Quinn knows all about that. So the question is can – you know what bothers me too is when you kind of look at the injury report with these two teams, and God knows what you can believe with the Patriots injury report. But, you know, Atlanta center Alex Mack is banged up. That's a concern for sure, right?
Yep.
And, you know, he's going to play, obviously. So, you know, are you going to get a fully healthy Alex Mack? Let's see here. Did not participate on Thursday for the Falcons. Devontae Freeman with a calf, so that we'll watch that on Friday. Limited Julio Jones and Alex Mack. And then, of course, like I said, I mean, you don't know what to believe with the Patriots injury report. Limited on both Wednesday and Thursday were Martellus Bennett, Alan Branch, Nate Ebner, Dante Hightower, Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell, and I think they added Vincent Valentine on Thursday as limited with a back there. So I would be concerned about Alex Mack. I mean, if he's not 100% in this game, that could be make a huge difference in this.
Yeah, I didn't realize he. I mean, it's just something new. Or is it,
no, been... yeah, remember he went down with that fibula in what was their last game? The Packers, right?
Yeah.
And didn't he come back in that game? So you know, that's something to watch. I mean, to lose one of your top center and a guy like Alex Mack like that, you know, not have him 100% for this game. Now, of course, it has been a couple of weeks, but, I mean, he's still limited. We'll see what the injury report – I mean, not that it matters. He's going to play. It's just a matter of is he going to be 100% or whatnot. So I think, you know, you got a lot of young players on Atlanta's side of football. I just wonder about the moment, you know, being maybe too big for a few of them there. And if they take away Julio Jones – I just wonder, if the Falcons are going to be able to recover there. But, I mean, it should be a good game nonetheless. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I gave you my Falcons stat about the turnover battle. Here's the Patriots stat on the turnover battle. They've only turned it over in 7 of their 18 games, but in 5 of those games they turned it over multiple times. One of those, of course, was the Steeler game where they turned it over twice. They still won the game. They turned it over twice against Arizona in the opening game of the season. They won that one. They turned it over twice against Seattle and lost that. Turned it over 3 times against the Ravens on that that Monday night game. And they won that one, of course. And then they turned it over 3 times against the Texans with Deion Lewis fumbling once and Brady throwing 2 interceptions, and they won that one by 18. So it didn't matter.
Here's something else related to. Well, I come up with some funny stuff when I start.
Boy, and look, I'll just drop this while we're eight. They've gotten turnovers in 8 straight games, and in 7 of those games, they've gotten more than one.
I love digging into the adjusted net yards passing attempt stat and winning probabilities and stuff like that. And one thing when I came across going back through all the Super Bowls here is the differential between the offense and the defense. The adjusted net yards passing, per passing attempt differential of each team separately is amazingly 2.7. In other words, the offense, each team's offense is 2.7 better than their own defense. And this is the first time in Super Bowl history, now this is only going one decimal point, but that both are even at 2.7. Or their differential is even, dead even at 0. So I found that quite interesting as well too. So,
it's like dueling banjos on Hee Haw here,
or in my case, Deliverance.
So the Patriots have gotten turnovers in 7 straight games, and the Falcons have gotten turnovers in 10 straight games. And I said we both said there wouldn't be any turnovers. So there you go. There's the other side of that coin.
Will there be a special teams touchdown in this game?
No.
Will there be a safety?
It's down to 8-1 after 4 straight years of safeties. A few years back, that was people used to go to the window and drop a dime on no safeties, and that got expensive.
What about putos, as I like to call them, points off of turnovers?
Well, if there are no turnovers, there won't be any points off turnovers.
Well, I think there's going to be a turn, at least one. So
they got a 17 game aggregate streak between them. So that's pretty impressive. So yeah, give me a stat, give me the turnover stat, I'll tell you who wins.
You give me the tot stat, and will the team with the +2 tot stat win this game?
Yeah, and the team with the turnover stat will probably win it too. You got an 80% chance of being right. Might as well bet it.
Do you think the Falcons will end up having more explosive plays of 20 yards or more?
Yeah, I would bet on that.
If they do,
I think there are more guys who can do it. They have like 5 versus 3.
If you tell me right now that they're going to win the explosive play battle by +2, I would probably take, regardless of what
right,
the
turn. That'd be enough to bet it.
Yeah, I that'd be enough for me to bet it, because I would think that the turnovers wouldn't be greater than a differential of 1. I wouldn't think. And obviously, if Atlanta won, was a +1 in the turnover and a +2 in the explosive plays, then 80% of the time they're going to win that game.
Scale of 1 to 10, your level of interest in this one. And then what was your level of interest in last year's game? Because mine was surprisingly low last year. I would put it at like, I don't know, it's hard to be below 5 because, by definition, it should be an interesting game. But I was probably just Denver didn't interest me much last year, and so I was probably about as low as I could be last year on a 6. Whereas I'm 9+ on this one.
Well, remember last year Peyton comes in with horrible.
Numbers are awful.
Numbers are awful, and then in fact, I picked Carolina last year because of them having a slightly better defensive NEA stat, and obviously Carolina had the better offensive numbers as well. So that that's why I took Carolina. But I would say, there should be some scoring in this game. So I would say I'm about an 8 on this one. I just want New England to lose so damn bad.
If it's a blowout, it's a blowout the Patriots way. the Patriots don't get blown out.
Define a blowout.
15 points or more.
The Patriots ain't gonna. That would be a shock if the Patriots lost. I would consider a Patriot blowout by being blown out by a touchdown.
If it's a blowout, it means the Patriots won, right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's talk a little Steelers stuff and
Steelers. Who's that?
Our
listeners are like that, wouldn't they? They're probably
let our listener at this point.
And it's probably Craig, right?
Yeah, and Alan.
Or Alex. Alex, I think Alex listens to all these all the way through as well, too. So thank you, the two of you, for joining us in the second half here.
I'd like to thank both our listeners for being with us at the 30-minute mark. Well, maybe we'll have a short one today. Yeah, the thing that the Le'Veon Bell news is the news, I think, and it's that Le'Veon Bell said that he may need surgery on his groin. We get a little groin talk here to wrap up the 2017-16 season. I don't know. That's disconcerting because surgery for anybody is disconcerting, and it makes it sound like it's a more serious injury than just a tweak, which obviously it was. He couldn't play in the game, so. That's the Steeler news. As the Steeler world turns, the soap opera that is the Steelers, at least for 24 hours, we didn't get anything new.
I'm not worried about it. Is that he got two opinions, right? One says get surgery, one said didn't. He's going to seek a third opinion, I'm sure, after he gets back from the Super Bowl. I would think he gets it done right away. Probably doesn't do anything. Much of anything during the OTAs, right?
Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, see you in August.
Are you worried about that post Daniel did on the site about the usage of Le'Veon Bell? Do you think the Steelers need to be start limiting his carries?
I'm of two minds in this. I do like Mike's philosophy of if the guy's he's not pulling a who's a running back John he's not pulling a John Dwyer and tapping his helmet for the next guy coming in. I mean, he wants to be out there. I'm a proponent of run the wheels off. So the answer is no, but I'm also a proponent of using a high draft pick on a running back who I want to see play some. So I think I think it's going to happen, and I'm not opposed to it. So there's a completely non-answer for you.
Here's what Daniel did in his research here. Bell was one of two running backs to finish the 2016 season, averaging more than 20 rushing attempts per game. He finished with 21.8 attempts per game. Just behind him was Ezekiel Elliott at 21.5 attempts per game. What is worrisome about that figure is the number 20 as running backs who finished with over 20 attempts per game 1 year have gone on to struggle or succumb to injuries the next season. And he goes down to list Adrian Peterson in 2015, DeMarco Murray 2014, Arian Foster in 2014, Arian Foster in 2012, Adrian Peterson in 2012, Alfred Morris in 2012, Maurice Jones-Drew in 2011, and Arian Foster again in 2011. Now we could take Arian Foster and say, man, a guy maybe just wasn't put together all like that. But I mean, he's on the list, three separate times here, and we all know Adrian Peterson's problems a couple of times. Why he's on this list. DeMarco Murray switched teams and had his yards per attempt drop from 4.7 to 3.6. Alfred,
are you worried about it?
A little bit, and here's why. And he goes on to say in his article that the big issue here is that let's not forget how many times Bell touches the football in addition to carrying the football.
Yeah, I guess all that stuff. You look at it. You look at age. You look at how many hard hits does he take. You look at the type of injuries he suffered in his career. You know, he also, again, I don't know how he if there's a minimum number of attempts that he uses there. Obviously, he missed three games this season, so Zeke ended up playing every game, so he carried it more. And significantly more, I think, right? At the end of the day, with those three extra games, you're going to get, you know, that's another 50-plus touches. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of Le'Veon Bell's injury history.
It's concerning that he hasn't been able to, you know.
What did he have? He got the knee in Cincinnati. What was the other one he got against Cincinnati? He got the knee last year that missed the second half of the season. What was the year before?
He started his rookie season was the foot, right?
Yeah, so he missed four games. He missed the first four, three. He went to play in London, right? He missed the first three games. Is that right?
Right. And so, he played against Minnesota. Was his first game there? What was it?
Then he played all of 2014.
But he missed. Didn't he miss something in 2014?
What was his rookie year, 12 or 13?
He just completed his fourth and final year of his contract.
Okay, so 12, 13, 14. So 13 was his rookie year. He missed three games. 14, he played the whole season, I think. And then 15, he hurts himself against the Bengals. And 16, he misses games because of suspension, right? That's how it goes. Okay, so that's it.
Well, he missed. I'm counting playoffs as well too. He missed a game against Baltimore in 2014 with that hyperextended knee.
Right, that's what it was. Okay, so he missed a playoff game in Baltimore. Played the regular season. Right, so he misses the first three games of his career. Then he plays 29 straight games. Then he misses the playoff game. Then he misses the. He gets suspended to start 15, misses two, then gets hurt in week 8 against Cincinnati and misses the rest of the season. Then he misses the first three this year. And I only see him playing 12. So where did he miss a game?
Well, they sat him the
right. And they sat him against Cleveland. And then he gets hurt early in the playoff game. So, okay, there you have it. So he's played 47 games in the regular season out of a possible, four times 16s, out of a possible 64. So that's not, you know, it's not a great percentage, 47 out of 64. And then he's played two playoff games out of a possible five. I'm not counting him playing New England.
Okay. I think you got to save some tread on that tire earlier in the seasons, right?
I don't know if he's going to be franchised and he doesn't have a long-term deal, run him forever. Your deal.
And here's the thing. The last 2 years, he didn't play in the first couple of games of the season either, right, because of suspension. So you can look at it that way and say, well, they have kind of been saving tread on his tires the first couple of games of the last two seasons. And I just think they got to I'm with you as far as drafting a running back, but how quickly can you get that running back on the field? And are you going to re-sign a guy like D'Angelo to kind of help out at some point? I really think they need to get his total average touches a game down to around 22 or so.
Do you ever read the Boston Globe? Do you see any of that stuff? Some good articles.
Okay.
Some good articles. You can get five free articles a month if anybody wants to go look at it. There are a couple things, just because my browser's up and I happen to click on this. There's an anatomy of a play call from headset to hike. There's more stuff than you could ever imagine. But I can't believe that they're still writing stuff about Brady and Belichick, but there have been some good articles on Brady and Belichick, all during the playoffs. But still more. I don't know how those guys can even come up with a different angle to write about those two guys. I think literally every word has been written now at this point. But there are a couple of good things in the Globe for people if you're just looking around for stuff to read this weekend.
What else about Le'Veon Bell? We're done with him now, I guess, huh? I mean, he's obviously going to get the franchise tag, and then you're going to – Rooney said you're going to try to sign him to a long-term deal, so we'd be surprised if that doesn't happen. at some point. We know
both Bell, he and Bell. Death Taxes and Greg Warren. You called that one, right?
Right.
I guess you actually broke that on Wednesday's podcast.
Right, right. Not surprising there. Chris Boswell signed his exclusive rights free agent tender. That's not a surprise. There's going to be the thing about these you know, all these signings that have happened supposedly so far, the exclusive rights guys, none of those have gone through the official wire yet. So you know, not that they're not going to happen. It's just they're not official. I mean, haven't been filed with the league yet. But I mean, there are going to be several.
The Steelers announced Warren yesterday, so that finally happened.
Right.
I mean. So they at least announced that one.
Right, right. They did announce that one. What else do we have Steelers related? I mean, we already hit on everything Rooney said. Was there anything else left over that Rooney said or didn't say? You know, he talked about we already talked about Ladarius Green. He talked about the coaches, you know, still in the process of going through the reviews with those guys. I guess we're about to wrap it up here, David, because
yeah, I don't mind giving our listeners an early weekend.
Okay, so we both have the Patriots winning then.
We do have the Patriots winning, and I don't know. I guess it should Steeler fans be rooting for the? I mean, you know, not to tell anybody, you root for whoever you want. Do you think Steeler fans are in general rooting for the Falcons because they hate the Patriots and they don't want anybody to kind of get near the Steelers numbers?
Hell yeah.
Right, you are, so why not?
Everybody listening to this podcast probably is rooting for the Falcons there. So look, it's another Super Bowl loss for Brady is not going to do anything to his legacy whatsoever. It will help Matt Ryan's. Is Matt Ryan an elite quarterback?
No, you got to do it more than 1 year. He had an elite year. Do it next year, and I'll put you there. I'd take him over Eli, and I'd take him over Cam right now. But I'm not putting him in there. Now, I'll tell you, here's the flip side of that, and this will get people riled up. If Ben has another year like he did this year, I'm taking him out of the elite group of the top three or four.
Well, I think in order for the Steelers to win the Super Bowl in 2017, that defense has got to get better. Will this offense, even with the guys expected, let's say you have your whole kit and caboodle there, A.B., Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, I'll even give you a little Darius Green, and of course all your offensive line, everybody, would you still expect them to average over 30 points a game, or is that still a pipe dream?
No, it's not a pipe dream. You give me Martavis Bryant and little Darius Green. It's not a pipe dream. Ben's going to play well, but it's not a pipe dream.
I still think I would be surprised if they averaged 30 points.
I wish they would play faster sometimes. I like it when they play fast.
Yeah. Of course, we already talked about Ben playing on the road, how that's got to start getting better. But, man, this defense has just got to get more. I think Rooney hit on it. I mean, got to get more consistent pressure on the quarterback and, you know, shore up, do a couple things different in the secondary than they've been doing. They're going to have to step out of the comfort zone, and it's got to be a little bit less so worried about a ball going over your head. You know, I think you got to be more concerned about getting those sacks and getting turnovers that way, you know, as opposed to being, you know, it's always been stop the run, tackle the catch, and don't get beat deep. I think I'd be a little bit willing to run the risk of getting beat deep a little bit more if to know I'd get better pressure with, you know, four up front sometimes, you know, five, occasionally five up front, something along those lines. So, all right, well,
Hey, the mortgage process can sometimes be more challenging than getting a turnover in the Super Bowl or not. Let our buddy Craig guide you through the sometimes daunting mortgage process to help you score the home of your dreams, even in Houston. If you're considering buying or refinancing a home now or in the future, give Craig Oxane a call. He's an experienced, nationally recognized lender that can help you achieve the dream of home ownership. Call Craig Oxane today at 855-961-7763. That's 855-961-7763. You can email Craig at blackandgoldlending.com or apply online at www.blackandgoldlending.com. First Advantage Mortgage Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois residential mortgage licensee, equal housing lender.
All right, hey, finalist, Hall of Fame finalist. Who's getting in? Let's go through the list real quick. Brian Dawkins, safety. Does he get in?
No.
I agree. Jason Taylor, defensive end. Does he get in?
No, I like Jason Taylor. I don't know if he'll ever get in.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, he's getting in.
I agree. Morton Anderson, is he getting in this time?
I hope someday. I'll reserve judgment, but say no.
I think he might get in this time. Don Coryell.
I hope he gets in sometime, so I'll give him the yes. I'll probably get too many here. I can only have five, right? So let's count him yes.
Oh, it's 5-8, isn't it?
I thought it was 5, so I don't know.
Kurt Warner.
No.
I think he gets in this time. I think.
Would you put him in?
Wow. Yeah, I think I would. Right. Terrell Davis.
Now, here's my guy. I think he should get in. I realize he didn't do it for as long. His playoff numbers are unbelievable. I would like him to get in. I don't think he does.
I don't think he does either, but I would like him to get in as well, too. Isaac Bruce.
No.
I'm with you. I don't think he gets in this time either. Terrell Owens.
Yeah, put him in.
I think he might get in as well, too. Tony Boselli.
God, they're more offensive linemen in the Hall of Fame than any other position. No.
Man, I think he
did. Any slam dunk?
Man, I think he's in. I think he's maybe one of the closest slam dunks on this list. We'll see. Maybe if anything's going to hurt him, it's probably because he played in a small market town, right?
Yeah, Jacksonville doesn't help you.
So maybe that's going to hurt him. But, man, he was dominant when he played. Alan Faneca.
Yes. That might hurt Boselli, too. Is Boselli's first year?
He last played in 2002 for the Texans, right? So how many years?
Oh, no. I think he only got to be out 5, so it's not his first. Faneca, yes. I'm putting Faneca in.
Boy, it's hard not to put him in. I tell you. But, you know, are you going to have a couple offensive linemen in?
Well, that's right. That's what I say. That might hurt Boselli. So I got Faneca in front of Boselli, but that might be my black and gold.
Well, let's see if this changes your mind with the next one. Joe Jacoby.
Yeah, you know, I'm still taking Faneca, so I can't put them all in, right?
Right. Man, now the more that I look at this, I think maybe Jacoby gets in and Faneca and Boselli don't. Maybe Faneca has to wait a year. Jacoby, well, he was fun to watch. Ty Law.
No.
Yeah.
He's never getting in.
John Lynch.
No. He got a GM job, so he got his for this week.
Kevin Mawai.
He'll make it someday.
Yeah, just not now. All right. Let's see. I think we both agree. I mean, LaDainian's a slam dunk. Is he the only – him and Terrell Owens both the only slam dunks, would you say?
Yeah, I think they're in. I think Coryell's going to get in, so good for him.
And I think Coryell gets in. I think it's going to be hard to keep Morton Anderson maybe out as well, too. So keep your fingers crossed for Faneca. How many offensive linemen get in this time? One or two?
Yeah. We just named three without Morton Anderson, so let's say one. One of them will get. I do think one of them will get in.
I think one of them will get in as well, too. It might end up being Jacoby, Joe Jacoby. All right, I stretched it out as far as we could stretch it here, folks. Thanks for listening, and we'll be getting back to, you know, we'll obviously recap the Super Bowl on our Monday show. Start talking more Steelers off season. We'll finally get around to maybe talking about some salary cap. Hopefully, no drama takes place between now and Monday, so we don't have to rehash any of that stuff there. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, go to SteelersDepot.com and hit that donate button up in the upper navigational bar. Where are you watching the Super Bowl at, David?
Unclear. I'm open to invites.
Okay. If you have a space and food for David and you live in Pittsburgh, give him a shout out there. I'm sure he would be interested in joining you. I'll be watching it where I watch everything, right here at the house in Vegas. Have a good weekend, David.
All right, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.